It's time for Green Visions, a KMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items, and by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports. This year marks the 35th anniversary of NRRI, the Natural Resources Research Institute. And we have on the phone with us this morning, Rolf Weberg, who is the executive director of the NRRI. Good morning, Rolf. How are you doing?
Good morning, Chris. How are you? I'm doing well.
The NRRI, 35 years, that I guess if I do the math right, that's back to 1983. Tell us about what was going on at the time that necessitated the forming of the Natural Resources Research Institute.
Well, back in the early 80s, the steel industry was in real trouble and shutting down. The competition for wood products from China in particular was really depressing our wood products industry. And when you look at the natural resource-based industries that make up a big piece of the economy here, certainly in the northern half of the state, it was a dire situation. In fact, I think some of the people that were here at the time remember the billboard at the edge of Duluth talking about the last one out, turn the lights out.
I remember that billboard, yeah.
Yeah, I was leaving town as a student at the time, and now I'm back. But at the time, a whole number of people, legislators, et cetera, were talking about how to address this. And Judge Gerald Heaney and Governor Rudy Perpich were really formed the basis of the idea of why don't we have a research institute that really, really looks at how to create a future for the natural resource-based industries that not only look at the economic value, but also look at how do you do this in a smart, well-planned, forward-looking way so that we balance the environment with the utilization of those resources. And that spurred the inception of the Natural Resources Research Institute in 1983. And in the 85 timeframe, it moved into the SAGE building here at the edge of the airport in Duluth.
So the mission of the NRRI, is it to explore new options as well as protecting old ones? What is your overall mission statement?
Well, you know, when you look at the charter that the legislature gave us in 1983, it's very forward-looking. It was to foster development of our natural resources in an environmentally sustainable way to create private sector jobs. So it was really a economic development with an environmental view to really make use of our resources. Today, we've changed that mission. We've updated it to basically say three things. One is one of my favorite words is to deliver. What are we delivering to the state in terms of what products are we giving the state in terms of data, understanding, technology? To deliver research solutions, a solution is much more comprehensive than just an answer. You know, integrating a lot of information and knowledge and process technology into a solution that balances our economy, resources, and environment for resilient communities. And that last piece, resilient communities, refers to people having a long-term job every day, every month, every year, so that we have a more diverse economy with a higher value set of products, reducing waste, and doing a true assessment of our resources.
Boy, to say the least, that is a huge undertaking. All those things combined into a mission, especially creating that sort of long-term job idea that you talked about, where these days it seems like people are changing careers and changing jobs every couple of years, every few years. The one job for your life ideas sometimes seems like it's in the past. What sort of challenges have you found in the past few years?
Well, I'm not sure that the world's ever going to see a career that lasts for an entire career anymore. But I think when you look at having a more stable economy by having a diverse set of industries that can help backstop each other as the economy moves back and forth, because it's a global economy today, the challenge is building the capability and the will to broaden that technology base and broaden that product base so that we are, instead of, let's say, just having taconite only, we have multiple iron products that can serve the entire steel industry.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some of the wag out of the tail, so to speak, so we have a lot more stability and, frankly, keep more of the wealth in the state so we can reinvest it.
Yeah, because we're talking about a lot of natural resources, the environment literally as part of that equation, but also because of just the ongoing debate of what using resources does to the landscape, to the environment around us. So I imagine that both forestry and mining are probably two of the main areas you've been dealing with.
That's right. And, you know, when we look at going forward, we really talk about the need for innovation. I think iteration is nice, but we need to innovate to get out of, create that economy of the future. And we look at this in three different ways. We look at it first as really doing a strategic resource assessment. What's really there? Not just the minerals and the forest, but also the water, the people, the infrastructure. What do we have here, and how do we take care of all of it? The second is reducing waste. Waste is simply bad business. Waste creates problems for future generations, but how can we minimize that waste or, frankly, use it all? Somebody's waste is always somebody else's raw material. And then finally, how do we create opportunities in innovation, you know, move up the value chain, drive economic resilience, and retain the value here in the state?
Right.
So, but more to your point, you know, in order to do this, we have impacts on our environment. We are right now. The lights are on. The telephone's working. All of these have impacts. And what really counts is how we plan for resilience and how to manage those impacts. And one of the ways we do it is we do a lot of fundamental studies, understanding what do our ecosystems look like and how do they interact with each other so that we can make good long-term decisions.
So the NRRI, what kind of people do you have working? What sort of are they scientists, legislators? Who gets involved in this process?
Well, first of all, we do not play in the arena of policy. That is not our arena. Our arena is in science, engineering, and economics.
Okay.
So we have a lot of engineers here. We have a lot of scientists. We have a lot of ecologists. We are onboarding resource economics as another skill set, as well as business and market analysis, because it's nice to have a mousetrap, but if nobody cares and there's no market for it, you really shouldn't be wasting the taxpayer money in developing that. So
right.
We do a lot of – I'd like to say that we engage everyone, because everyone has a piece of the truth, and we do that to frame the questions that we need to be – researching. If you don't frame the question, you aren't doing the job. In fact, one individual said that when you frame the question, you've already done half of the work, because it's hard work to frame the questions, because none of them, as you pointed out earlier, are very simple or straightforward.
I like what you said, that everybody has a piece of the truth, and I think so often we think in absolutes, and it's hard to see the middle ground where there are lots of inputs from different angles that need to be weighed, and I think that's a wise process. So 35 years now you've been going strong with this. The future for the NRRI, I'm assuming, looks good too. You've still got plenty of work in front of you.
We've got plenty of work in front of me. I've been here for the past 4.5 years, and I'm building off of a legacy led by Mike Lawlich and the team that was here before me. But we are really excited about looking forward, because I think Minnesota has a lot of opportunity, not only to drive an economy based on our resources and smart decisions, but also to lead the country in a lot of smart thinking. When you look at the basis of our economy is the nexus of energy, water, and materials. Energy, because we have $18 billion going out of the state every year from the state. How can we save one or two of those by really embracing this new energy economy, which will be the new economy that we have to participate in?
Yeah.
Water, if you count Lake Superior, and we're Minnesotans, so we will, that's one-tenth of the world's surface available water. That's a responsibility, but it's also an opportunity. You learn how to use your resources and take care of that. That's something the world needs. And finally, when you look at materials, food's a material we happen to eat, but all the materials we depend upon, whether you want to talk about electronics or car parts, we need materials that do depend on smarter use of our minerals and our forestry and water resources. So that's what we're excited about, because when you look at the interplay between those three, there's opportunity there. And Minnesota is in a wonderful place because we have all three, and we are in a really good position to not only collaborate regionally, but also nationally and globally in driving some of those solutions. That's what gets me up every morning.
Well, it's great work, and we're glad you're doing it. And congratulations on 35 years, and hopefully more than 35 years to go. There'll still be some great solutions coming out of your institute. So thank you.
Absolutely, and I have to acknowledge the great people that work here. I want to make sure that the world knows that this is a very, very unique, nationally unique research institute built of people who really come to work every day wanting to make a difference. So I have to take my hat off to them.
We're happy they're looking for a better way as well. Thank you so much. Take care.
Have a great day.
You too. Rolf Weber, the executive director of the NRRI, the Natural Resources Research Institute of the University of Minnesota, Duluth. His staff for 35 years been looking for ways to be responsible users of the resources that we have in our midst. This is Green Visions on 103.3. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items, and Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Ports supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors.